And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you on this Dr. Seuss Day. Have you all heard? Dr. Seuss is now officially canceled in Loudoun County, Virginia. Yes, the school board is officially we're not really canceling Dr. Seuss. It's just that his materials are not sufficiently inclusive and diverse. And we need to get rid of him and find materials that are more inclusive and more diverse. I'm not even sure what that means. I never read Dr. Seuss as a kid and thought, oh, boy, this is really racist. This is, whoa, man. It was just fun stuff to read. You know, well, folks, you know, right? I start with Dr. Seuss because Dr. Seuss makes me laugh. But these people who are busy attacking everything and everybody, smearing everything and everybody. You all know that Mr. Potato Head will no longer be Mr. because they're going to go gender neutral. And I heard one explanation says it was a business decision. They weren't caving into the culture. Give me a break. They were caving into the culture. Of course they were. One activist probably said, well, why does it have to be a Mr.? Why can't it be a they? Why can't it be a nothing? Why can't he be non-binary? And they got together in their boardrooms and said, uh-oh, folks, you know what? We're being unjust. We're not being sufficiently inclusive. We're not being sufficiently diverse. We have got to kill Mr. Potato Head. We must kill him. And we must create a new Potato Head. You know, I tell you, I think it would be great to have the Potato family be the keynote speakers at the Democrat National Convention and thank them for the potato movement. Because all this time, these potatoes have been victims of such social injustice. But now they're liberated. Now they're free. The only thing that's left is we've got to go back and find the birth certificate of Mr. Potato Head, and we've got to change it, because who designated him Mr. anyway? Who says that was valid? We got to change his birth certificate. It should read non-defined or non-designated, because, you know, or non-assigned, because, you know, your gender and my gender, that's just nothing but an assignment that some doctor gave us at the hospital. Who's he think he is? I mean, what right does he have? Did he have to say that I was a male? What right did he have to say that some of you were females? I mean, that is so arrogant. I'll tell you what, it's just, but I am just glad that Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head are now victors in the fight for social justice. They have taken a stand. Now, apparently with Dr. Seuss, with the author of Dr. Seuss, they found some things. This happened years ago, but now, of course, with the intense wokeness, they found some things years ago that he wrote that were not racist, but racially insensitive. And, you know, he said, look, I was simply reflecting the era of my time. When are people going to come to grips with the fact that human beings aren't evolving physiologically, but we are evolving in terms of our understanding of things? We are evolving in terms, think about this. 200 years ago, 300 years ago, before America declared independence, you know that pretty much there was not a single place on earth that one could say that the geographical boundaries were clear, decided, and unchallengeable. Everything was up for grabs. That's the nature of the unstable world we lived in. France and England were fighting each other all the time over territory. Some of the countries we now call are now in the region of Germany and Russia. We're fighting each other all the time over territory. tribes in Africa, here on the American continent. We're fighting each other all the time over territory, over who would control what plot of land. Everything was moving. Everything was in flux. That was just the world we lived in. Now, you could point to somebody in that time and say, oh, what a barbarian he was. He actually went and took the land that belonged to, somebody probably took the land that he once had. It's just the way the world was. We can make all kinds of cute moral judgments about it now, but it's just history. And of course, they want to take that away. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we study history to learn where we've been and to understand better where we want to go, not to wallow in it as if somebody did something to us yesterday and now we need payback today. You know, folks, this stuff, it is going to drive people insane. You know, that may be the ultimate answer. It may be that all these people who are into this stuff end up in rubber rooms somewhere, you know, flailing away at their lips, you know, making that sound, blah, 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 you know, because this stuff will drive you crazy. Look, I'm an American of African ancestry. I was never a slave. It's an academic study for me. We all are moved by human pain and suffering, even when it happened, you know, in the far distant future. But we also keep it in perspective because, after all, it wasn't you, it wasn't me. And we just think, you know, what I always reflect is, wow, you know, it's amazing what sin does to people, what it has done to the world, because that's what it is. Not, well, it's terrible what those white people did. You know, and Christians who think that way need to have their minds renewed by the word of God. So the man who wrote Dr. Seuss, maybe he's had some cartoons that were insensitive before he started writing Dr. Seuss. So what? So what? If the books contribute to giving children fun and educating them and teaching them to read, why don't we celebrate that as opposed to wringing our hands? Yes, but you know, before he started doing that, you know, he had some things that were not very good. And you know, Christians should never engage in this kind of judging, because after all, if God treated us that way and looked back on our lives before we were saved, now some of you got saved young and you've always lived pretty good lives, but for those of us like me who went through teenage years and through some of our adulthood unsaved, God could look back and say, well, you know what, I'm not giving you any credit for what you've done since you came to me. I mean, I look at the stuff you did before that. And that is the equivalent of what we do. I don't care what Thomas Jefferson wrote. He was a slaveholder. Well, you know, I could just say it's likewise. I don't care what Thomas Jefferson did. He wrote the Declaration of Independence. So there. He made a contribution to this country and to mankind that is incalculable. So there. And we could play that game all day long. What we ought to be doing is just seeing the past for what it is. It's the past. People operating as best they knew how in the circumstances and the context of their lives. And we don't need to go back. And we really don't need to go back, folks, just so you know. We don't need to go back and change Mr. Potato Head's birth certificate, okay? I'm fine with not doing that. Okay, so this stuff is just, you know, it's like, it really is like having a great big old plate glass window looking in on the asylum, watching these people go through their insane gesticulations. We're not joining them. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
You know, Christians are surrounded by a supermarket of worldviews, so it's not surprising that many have uncritically accepted many of these false views of reality. The Barna Group, in association with Summit Ministries, conducted a survey of practicing Christians to determine how they were influenced by these worldviews. What they found is that younger Christians, that would be millennials and Generation X, were much more likely to accept unbiblical worldviews than previous generations. And they also found that males were more susceptible than females by a 2-to-1 ratio. They found that more than 6 in 10 of practicing Christians accept some ideas that are rooted in the new spirituality. They also found that more than a third of practicing Christians are sympathetic to some teachings of Islam. Apparently, these practicing Christians do not see how some of their views are illogical. For example, more than a quarter believe that all people pray to the same God or spirit. Praying to Allah, Krishna, or the God of the Bible would obviously be very different, but that does not seem to many of these Christians to be a contradiction. On issues of morality and values, many also differ from Orthodox Christianity. Nearly a quarter of them believe that what is morally right or wrong depends on what an individual believes. 1 in 5 believe that meaning and purpose come from working hard. A significant number also accept ideas promoted by socialism. Some strongly agree with the idea that the government, rather than individuals, should control as much of the resources as necessary to ensure that everyone gets a fair share, and others believe that private property encourages greed and envy. This survey is but one more reminder that we need to be teaching sound theology in our churches. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Ryan Fisher here. Democrats are working to make changes that will keep conservatives from ever winning an election again. Is Governor Cuomo finished in New York? How did Trump do at CPAC? Fauci extends the mask mandate in perpetuity. 2 regressives are being recalled in California. And it looks like it's been a while since the Pope read the Book of Genesis. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, we're back. President Trump hit one out of the park yesterday, former President Trump, at CPAC, and gave a speech that was just powerful. I want to ask you all, when you start calling me, I'm curious whether you think he's going to run for president again. I don't know. I really don't know. He didn't say he was going to. He kind of hinted at it. But, you know, 4 years is a long time in politics. And the president is in his, what is he, in his mid-70s now? 74, I think. So who knows? Who knows? I think that President Donald Trump would once again make an absolutely outstanding president of the United States. And from my perspective, we would have been better off if he had remained president of the United States. And I say that without apology, without equivocation, without compromise, because here again, he's not a perfect man. I know that, just like I'm not, and those of you listening to me aren't. But I think this man did so much for this country. I don't think we even, those of us who voted for him don't really fully grasp it. And the only thing that the left has against him are things that they didn't like about what he said. And now their immigration policy, now that they're confronting the crisis that they've created, now they're scrambling to try to explain why putting children in the same facilities President Trump put them in is not the same. Oh, it's not the same. Oh, no. It's not the same. We've got a different attitude. It's like, what? What? Oh, they were concentration camps. They were cages. But now that you're using them, Oh, we have a different attitude about it. we don't call them concentration camps. Well, neither did the Trump administration. Obviously, they were trying to humanely take care of children who were the victims of coyotes and human traffickers and cartels and parents who abandoned them or were using them to try to weasel their way across the border illegally by using their children and all of that. And how do you deal with that? As I said many times, I have nothing but compassion for those poor kids because they're in a sense being victimized twice. But we're not the ones victimizing them. It is their parents and the people who are bringing them to the border who are victimizing them, any more than the criminal justice system victimizes a child when that child's parent is locked up for committing a crime. It is not the criminal justice system that's victimizing the child. It is the parent who victimized the child. But, you know, the left, they just can't, they can't get that straight. But one of the things the president mentioned, which kind of surprised me, frankly, he talked about this whole thing of destroying women's sports with this transgender craze. And I just thought that that was very, very interesting that he would go there because that's not really been a big emphasis for him. He just quietly went about doing his business. Of course, he banned transgenderism in the military and he banned giving these people operations and all of that at taxpayer expense. But I was so glad that he brought that up because I just think that that is one of the most pernicious things happening in our culture today, this whole movement. I think it is abusing children. It is abusing women. And here's an example. I don't know whether I've talked about this before. I've had it in my stack for a while, but this transgender man who broke this woman's skull. I mean, he's a man, but he's fighting in mixed martial arts as a woman. He almost killed this woman. You see a picture of it. She's bleeding profusely in the head. And these leftists, these crazies, are hailing this as if this is some great accomplishment. It is just amazing to me how people can be so deceived that they deny the reality that is looking them right in the face. And I may have said this because, you know, I talk on another venue, which is my podcast in the morning, not as long as I'm on with you, but somebody's going to get killed. And I'm not talking about, you know, somebody being mad and killing somebody because of these policies. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in these situations where you're putting biological males in sports to play with biological women. And if where these sports are potentially contact sports, particularly like this, MMA or boxing or anything where it's rough and there's contact, somebody's going to get killed. Because you can't take a natural 150-pound man with the musculature of a man because he happens to think that he's Mary rather than Moe, and put him on a field or put him in a ring with a woman and then act like he's done some great thing when he beats her down. The fact of the matter is, folks, I don't care how many, one commentator said, yes, I'm so glad that they're making movies now to show that women can beat up men. Yeah, they can in very rare instances. Because the fact of the matter is they don't have the musculature, they don't have the strength, they simply, and frankly, I know I'm generalizing. Of course, there are always exceptions. And they don't have the aggression. You know, folks, testosterone means something. And it's very different than estrogen. So I was really glad that the president brought that up because I just think that stuff is just cultural poison that everybody feels duty-bound to go along with. Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Oh, look me! Look at me! I'm woke. Look at me! I'm cool. Oh yes, I'm down with the wokeness. I mean, and what you really are is just half nuts with this crazy stuff. So I am really happy that the president, and you know what? Very few politicians will touch it with a 10-foot pole. I heard Rand Paul questioning, the guy's name is Richard, by the way. I finally read his name, Richard, who he thinks he's Rachel, but he's really Richard. But questioning Richard Levine, who's been nominated for Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services, about giving hormones to minors, giving hormones to children and doing operations on children. Would you oppose that? He wouldn't answer the question. And that just came out in the news today. He wants to accelerate and facilitate the ability to get children the treatment that they need to become who they are on the inside. Now, you know, where did anybody come up with this bizarre idea that you can have a man's body and be a woman on the inside, or have a woman's body and be a man on the inside? Who came up with that mess? Folks, that is nothing but demonic deception. That's it. That's all. And frankly, parental and these leftists, these LGBTQ crazies, these activists getting their hooks into children at an early age and teaching these children. I told you about this book that I've been reading. I haven't gone back to it in a while because I've been busy with some other things, but that talks about the fact, how can you have whole groups of girls all becoming transgender at the same time? And she said, that's a phenomenon that's going on in the country. And all the girls in a certain group, and well, yes, we're all transgender. This is nothing but brainwashing and indoctrination and the influence of all of these forces that have their minds all twisted up. They've got reprobate minds, according to Romans chapter 1. They've got reprobate minds, and they want to drag as many people into hell with them as they can. And that's how Satan behaves. That's how he acts. So, kudos to former President Trump for having touched the rail that most politicians do not want to touch. And if Republicans will find their courage to point out the craziness of this stuff, I think they will go back into power. They will take Congress, they will take the U.S. Senate, and take the presidency by a landslide. Because here again, I've been predicting that these folks are going to go so far, like this House Bill 5, this so-called Equality Act. That thing is an abomination. That's what they ought to call it, the Abomination Act. Because that thing tries to turn nature on its head, the word of God on its head, and common sense in the way people behave. Turn it completely on its head and make everybody conform to their insanity. And I think there are a lot of people who might consider themselves Democrats who are going to look at that, including a lot of these black and Hispanic folks who voted Democrat, going to look at that and go, now, you know, wait a minute, wait, whoa. Whoa. Whoa, Nelly, slow down. Something's not right here. I think it's going to help wake all these Christians up who keep voting for these people who are spitting in their faces with the policies that they advance. Here's another story I'd like for you all to comment on. I've talked about this guy, George Gascon. He's out in L.A. He's the L.A. County prosecutor. He's bought and paid for by George Soros. And George Soros, of course, has bought and paid for a number of prosecutors across the country. That's where he's investing his money, because he wants to put his enemies in prison. That's the reason. He wants to let the street criminals go, though. Let the street criminals go. But I guarantee you, some conservative comes into their clutches, oh, they're going to throw the book at you. They're going to try to put you away forever for some dumb thing that they'll come up with. I know that sounds way, I don't believe I'm exaggerating about this stuff. Look, if you're willing to go so far as this man has in releasing murderers back on the street, what are you willing, because your ideology dictates it, what are you willing to do with people who don't agree with your ideology? George Soros gave this man $2.2 million. Netflix gave him, the Netflix owners gave him $2.7 million. And in his district, murders and shootings and attacks on cops are up exponentially. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
A little girl listened intently as a missionary from Rhodesia was speaking to her church Sunday school class in Decatur, Alabama. The missionary was telling the class of the various needs which black Rhodesians have. Approximately $125 will send a black Rhodesian student to college for 1 year, the missionary said. And unless the black Rhodesian has a college education, they cannot vote. What the missionary said was of great interest to Ladell McWhorter. After the class was over, Ladell talked to her younger sister about the missionary's remarks. Ladell was in the sixth grade, and her sister Lou Ann was in the fourth grade. The girls discussed the situation and planned their course of action. For the next few months, they saved their allowance. They saved some of their lunch money. They cut grass. They collected soft drink bottles and did other odd jobs to earn money. The parents of the young girls soon became concerned about their actions. They knew that the girls were saving their money, but they had no idea why. Ladell and Lou Ann told no one, not even their parents, what they had planned. It was their personal secret. They had a goal toward which they were working. Nearly 7 months after the missionary had spoken to the church school class, the two girls counted their money. They had a total of $125.57 saved. It had taken a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of love, but they had reached their goal. Ladell and Lou Ann put their money in an envelope and headed off toward their church building. They wanted to see their minister. They had a secret they wished to share. The girls told their minister that they had been saving their money to send a black Rhodesian to college for a year. The girls asked their minister, Reverend Herb Williamson, if he would explain the situation to their parents. The following Sunday morning at the close of the service, the minister called Ladell and Lou Ann to the front along with their parents. The girls and their parents came forward. The parents were not sure why the minister had made such a request. But as they stood before the congregation of Wesley United Methodist Church, they listened as the minister dedicated the money to the education of a black Rhodesian college student. This was the first knowledge that Mr. and Ms. McWhorter had of their daughter's project. The minister later wrote that this was the greatest sermon this church has ever seen. Somewhere in the good book it says, and I quote, "And a little child shall lead them." Ladell and Lou Ann McWhorter are living examples of the validity of that statement.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Hey, I'd like to get some of your calls in and during this segment. The number is 888-589-8840. And let me mention, you know, we are only 1 month now away from Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Only 1 month. I mean, that time is going. 3 weeks, we'll celebrate Palm Sunday. And, you know, the AFA store has Easter buttons. And so if you go on our website, AFR.net or AFA.net, you will find Easter buttons available that you can use to help promote Easter and encourage people to come to church. You know, there's some people who don't go to church until Easter Sunday, but this is an opportunity to have those people come to your church maybe and never leave. You know, there are some people who go to church because it's a big holiday and they want to, you know, sort of fulfill their religious obligation, and then they go and realize, you know what, I need this every Sunday. So you never know. Go to our web store, afa.net, and just you'll see Easter buttons prominently displayed there, and feel free to take advantage of that opportunity as we lead into Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, so George Gascon, this guy, is wreaking havoc in L.A. County, and George Soros is his benefactor, his primary benefactor, one of several, but I think George Soros has led the way. This is a local county district attorney's office, and this man has raised somewhere in the to the tune of $12 million folks, people, they're candidates who don't raise $12 million for statewide races. This guy's raised $12 million. And about a third of it is all big donors, you know, $1 million or so. What are they up to? I think we know. See, this is the thing that we've got to understand. These people are not simply against traditional values in America. They are against those values. They are against what the Declaration represents. They don't believe it's true that God gives us rights and freedoms. And frankly, they're against the Constitution because they don't believe in a Constitution that limits the power of government. They think that the power of government should be virtually unlimited. But here's what they're really up to. It's not about trying to just change our values. That's a step in the process. It's about remaking the country. And the way you remake the country is you have to first delegitimize everything about it, including Dr. Seuss, including Mr. Potato Head. You've got to delegitimize everything about America. America's bad. America's no good. America's unjust. America's racist. America's sexist. America's, you know, they got this thing out now. If you oppose anything having to do with this whole transgender insanity, you are now transphobic. And this is America. America's is a terrible, terrible place. And you know what we've got to do? We've got to have virtually a revolution, not necessarily violent, but in which everything gets flipped. And I really think they'd love to have a new constitution based upon social justice. I think they'd like to just invalidate the Declaration, ignore it as a dead letter because it was written by slave owners. I think they'd do away with the Electoral College. They made that clear so that New York and California would basically run the country and impose their bizarre leftist values on everybody else. That's why this is such a serious battle we are in. Because here again, it's not like center-left, center-right debating a policy and trying to compromise to come to some agreement. No, it's not. These are people who are completely off the reservation, hate our country as it's presently constituted. That stuff of kneeling for the flag, that was not just about police brutality. That was about invalidating America. Make no mistake about it. I think the last thing I want to mention is for today is the hypocrisy. Cuomo. Cuomo is, well, you know, before I get that, let me just make two other points. The diversity they seek is not diversity, it's division. They use diversity as a ruse, as a cover for the division that they're really trying to instill in everybody. They're not producing any diversity, they're producing division. Who was it said that the Golden Globe Awards voters are railing about the diversity in Hollywood and we need diversity. Guess how many black, Hispanic, Asian people who are not of European descent they have on their voting board? Zero. Now you're hearing that from someone. I could care less. I could care less. But they're so busy beating the drum about how bad everybody else is and how bad America is and how racist America is, and they don't even live up to their own standards. Because it's really not about diversity. It's about division. They want to divide everybody. And then it's also about establishing moral superiority. Look at me. Look how good I am. See, you Neanderthals, you don't realize how bad you are, but look at me. I'm good, see. I'm for social justice. I'm for climate justice. I'm for trans, what do they call this stuff? They've got a name for this, you know, pushing this trans agenda. But I guess the name for people who aren't any of these perverse things that they come up with is we're cisgender. I'm opposing the oppression of the cisgender. Where do they come up with this stuff? But it's all about undermining the country. It's all about destroying the legitimacy of America. Last thing, then I want to come to your calls. Cuomo, he's another one. You know, they've been playing all of his comments about women, how women must be treated, and it's a systemic problem throughout society. And look at me, I'll lead the way. The this guy. And he's a complete degenerate. I mean, kissing a woman, if you believe the allegations, and of course, there'll be an investigation. We'll see how much of it comes. But here again, their own standards. What were their standards? You have to believe the woman. Isn't that the standard that they themselves set? You have to believe her. And we've been saying, well, you know, you got to look at the evidence. You got to investigate. You got to, just because somebody makes an accusation. Oh, no. See, you're a misogynist. No, you've got to believe her. And now all of a sudden, she misunderstood. You know? 888-589-8840. Let's get at least one or two calls in here before we have to go to a break. Let's go to Lee in Virginia. Lee, welcome. Lee, you're on.
Yes, Bishop Jackson.
Yes, sir.
I was watching, YouTube here a while back. I happened to run up on a site. It was 45 points in the Communist Manifesto. I'm sure you already know all this. But it shows how they go about taking over a country. And an FBI agent in 1958, he wrote a book and outlined all these 45 things, and every one of them is happening right now. You know, people of this country need to understand this country is half communism right now, and they're pushing for the whole thing. You know, but I'm beginning to feel in my heart, Reverend Jackson, that God's people are waking up. The country don't have to wake up, just the church wake up. And he says, if my people, and I believe there's more and more Christians that are starting to wake up and realize the danger we're in. And some tell me God's getting ready to move in this country.
All right, Lee, I could not agree with you more. By the way, the name of the book is called The Naked Communist, and the author is Cleon Skousen. And the book is called The Naked Communist. And that book was written in 1958, folks. And if you read that book, you think it was written yesterday. Because he says all the things that communists need to do in order to take over. And you look at them and you go, it's pretty much done. So he was prescient. There's no question about it. He saw the handwriting on the wall very early on. And a lot of us are just catching up to it. So, yeah. If I were you, I'd check out that book, The Naked Communist. It is an eye-opener. And I agree with you, Lee. I think that more and more Americans are waking up. That's why I'm very hopeful. No matter how dark it may look, I'm very hopeful about the future of the country because I believe these folks are going to go too far. I believe they're going to awaken a sleeping giant. And I think a lot of those people that we have said, you know, why are you not voting? Why are you not involved? Why are you not active? When your child comes home and says, my teacher told me, when your daughter comes home, Linda comes home, forgive me, I'm just picking a name, and says, my teacher told me that I might be a boy and everybody can call me Leo. And then you go complain and they say, oh, well, you must be transphobic. That's because we're pretty much already there. And that's the point at which I think people are going to say, no way. We'll be back.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
Oh, Lord, please let me make it. Please, Lord. Come on.
American Family Association or American Family Radio.
I missed the show again.
Can't find the time to catch the live shows? No worries.
Wait, what?
You can listen and download all your favorite shows for free.
For free?
That's right, for free. Just visit the podcast page on AFR.net.
Ooh, Lord.
AFR.net.
Christians. They're suffering big time in Africa, and they need our help. Hi, this is Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and Pastor Lumo ministers in Mozambique near the Indian Ocean. He's been beaten in jail, not for what he believes, but for how he lives out his faith. You see, Lumo has been quietly and faithfully sharing the gospel with Muslims, and many have come to Christ in recent months, but extremists here, they have assaulted him, his family, and many in his church. But you know what? They're not asking for an end to the persecution they face. They're praying for Bibles to open and read every day in order to be able to endure and persevere as new followers of Christ. Hey, give thanks if your pastor hasn't been beaten in jail, but please don't turn a deaf ear to these pleas for Bibles. Instead, help support the church in Africa by sending a Bible to these waiting Christians at only $5 a Bible, or $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
But here's what happened with the feminist revolution, because I was right in the heart of it in the 1970s.
Dr. Meg Meeker on Focus on the Family Minute.
Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan said, you can do it, you can do it. But our goal was to beat men. It wasn't to be better selves, it was to beat men. So there was an underlying anger that we were taught to have, and that was to grow if we were to be successful. And that's not healthy, but we didn't recognize it at the time. I saw some of my colleagues say the worst things to men. And how skewed is that? And again, we're seeing that in other places in our culture, that if one person wants to elevate who they are racially or gender or whatever, it necessarily in their mind means you have to squash the other.
Hear more from Meg today at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come right back to your calls. We've got plenty on the table to talk about. So let's go to Kelly in Arkansas. Kelly, welcome.
Whoa, Nelly, it's all I've got to say. This is ridiculous, and I'm one of those people you're talking about that's just blowing my mind as a conservative and a Democrat. You know, two-thirds of our Democrats are pro-life, and they're just way out of line with the normal people out here in the hinterlands.
Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. So, Kelly, what do you think people are going to do about it? Do you think they're going to say, you know what, that's it, until, like Ronald Reagan said, I didn't leave the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party left me?
They're not going to leave, but they're not happy about it, just like the Republicans are not happy about a lot of the things that go on in their party. We've been hijacked, you know, on these social issues. It's not right. It's sickening, you know.
But do you think these folks are going to continue to vote Democrat? I mean, they've gone radical abortion. They've gone radical sexual agenda. And to tell you the truth, this is interesting. President Trump was trying to bring our troops home and trying to de-escalate. And as conservatives were always accused of being warmongers. But right out of the box, here's Biden firing missiles into Syria. Now, I don't know the entire story or background behind that, but I just find it interesting that the party that always diminishes the military jumps right in with military actions. But I don't hear the news media asking, well, is he trying to cover something else up, or is he trying to distract us with this? But if it were a Republican, oh my goodness, they'd be saying, yeah, something's going on, and he's doing that to try to keep us from looking at the real problems. But the media doesn't do it. So are people going to rise up and saying, you know what, I'm just not voting for these Democrats. They are completely off the deep end. I'm going to vote for the person and the principles.
They're relying on this social engineering. That's not the problem. The pandemic is number one, the economy. But they need to leave people's personal lives alone. And this morality, you know, there is so much immorality in both parties that it all needs to stop.
But Kelly, please don't do that. Because, look, here's the problem. The problem is they want to teach your children this stuff. If they were just living this way on their own, I would agree with you entirely and say, hey, look, you know, ultimately it's nobody's business. But now you want to teach kindergartners that they need to consider homosexuality. You want to inject hormones into three-year-old children. You want to tell everybody that this should be the new norm. I mean, that's where the confrontation comes. I don't think it comes because Christians or anybody else want to dictate everybody's morality. It's but we don't want their morality dictated to us and to our families and to our children and shoved in our faces at every turn. That's the issue. Don't you agree?
Yes, you're 100% right. And anybody that can argue with that's not a Christian.
There you go. All right, Kelly, I appreciate the call. Don't vote for these people anymore. That's the answer, Kelly. We got to get some people in there who believe in God, believe in our Constitution, believe in our way of life as Americans. And you're right. Believe in live and let live, and let neighbors try to talk to and persuade neighbors. We don't need the government trying to dictate to us like it's doing right now that if you don't go along with this homosexuality business, somehow you might lose your job. You might, I mean, you can be punished in a whole variety of ways locally. They'll sick the local government on you and try to close up your business. I mean, it's just so right. We're not trying to impose anything on anybody. We just don't want it imposed on us. Thanks for the call, Kelly. Let's go to Julian in Georgia. Julian, welcome.
Yeah, I was reading the Declaration of Independence a while back. It said, after the life of liberty and pursuit of happiness, it is set into government to the death.
Okay. I think, Julian, we got a bad connection with you. You might want to try to call us back on another line. Thanks for the call. Let's go to John in Arkansas. John, welcome.
Yeah, hey. John, did you say?
Is this John
Hello?
In Arkansas?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, John.
Jackson. It's an honor.
Thank you.
Almost forgot what I had called about. I was listening to these other callers, and yeah, I agree with everything that you've been saying and what they've been saying. Something to remember, Satan always overplays his hand, and I think that's what mm-hmm. we're seeing here. But on the Dr. Seuss thing, I thought of one of the books he had written. And to sum it up, you can't teach a sneech. Do you remember the sneeches that he had written where they were these little animals, these little funny-looking creatures that had the big bellies, looked like a bird, long, skinny, and some of them had stars on them, some of them didn't have. And the ones with the stars were sort of, I guess the non-star sneeches were being outcast. Well, here comes a guy with a contraption, and he's going to put a star on them. And next thing you know, now everybody's got a star. What reminded me when you was talking earlier, you know, after you segmented out of the Dr. Seuss thing with all these girls that are, you know, wanting to play their boys and they're doing them in these groups.
Yeah.
And so now everybody's got these stars, and then they want the stars taken off, and then it just gets crazy. And here this businessman comes in with this gizmo, and he's putting on stars, taking off stars, and in the end, they said, you can't teach a sneech. But actually, they did learn. You know, Dr. Seuss, you could say he's way ahead of his time, but there's nothing new under the sun. He saw it back then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, John, thank you so much for the call. I have not read that particular book now, but now I'm curious. And, you know, my wife and I went out and bought the My Pillows. Because we'd heard the commercials, but you know, we just said, you know what? They are so on this man and persecuted. Let's go out and help his business. I think I may go out and buy Dr. Seuss's books now and make sure that we're reading them in our school, because this stuff is just, it'll be our little protest against this craziness. Thanks for the call, John. Let's go to Vivian in Arkansas. Vivian, welcome.
Yes. How do you do? How are you today?
I'm blessed, Vivian.
Good. I appreciate what you're putting on your radio. I don't have a TV, but when you talk about Mr. Potato Head, it reminded me that I did for the children at church. I made up a potato family, a spectator, imitator, agitator, hesitator, dictator, and sweet-tater. And then their children could, you know, kind of figure out which one they would like to be. And It's real easy to make. You take some cloth and you stuff it and you put little dimples on them like potato eyes. And of course, you wouldn't want to put a hat or anything on them nowadays. Of course, that would be sexist. But, you know.
Right. They've got to be gender neutral. Right. Exactly.
Yes. Yes, but then they need to, you know, kind of listen to see what kind of those people would act like imitator and hesitator, and which one, you know, and what they'd like to be. So that just reminded me that, you know, it's some of this, it's silly compared to all the serious stuff, but we go through so much of the serious stuff, I get tired of hearing. I don't even have a TV anymore. I just won't listen to it.
Well, Vivian, I don't blame you one bit. And you know what you've just reminded us of? You know, why do they feel they need to steal children's childhoods and go in and interfere with that? You use Potato Head, Mr. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head, whatever, to teach important lessons, or, you know, with potatoes. And this is what we as Americans do. But they want to get in and turn everything into some kind of social and sexual issue. And you know what is what it's about? It's not about helping children. In fact, it hurts children, but it's about proving their moral superiority, how much more enlightened they are than the rest of us. And they don't realize they're just as dumb as they can be. Thank you for the call, Vivian. We appreciate it. Let's go to Alan in Louisiana. Alan, welcome.
Hey, how you doing today, Bishop?
I'm blessed, Alan. How are you?
God bless you real good. Again, I appreciate you, and I thank you for your courage, and I stand with you, and I pray for you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to just share what you were talking about earlier. You know, there is a you know, this darkness is really covering the earth. It's covering the earth, but men are actually pushing darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God reminds me in Romans 12, where it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, that word conform, it means to become one with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing right now in this push for this LGBTQ.
Yeah.
I can't get all the acronyms together, but this push is so demonic. If they're not going in the womb to kill the baby, they want to corrupt the baby as soon as the baby come out of the womb.
Wow.
Because they can't procreate. They can only recruit.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. Alan, you nailed it. You nailed it. And you're right. People are pushing this darkness. And Jesus said there's a special curse for people who not only act on falsehood, but teach others to do so. And that's exactly what they're doing. Thank you so much for the call, and thank you for the prayers. Angela in Georgia, let's see if we can get you in before we have to end the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, Bishop, glad to hear your show. So I love your show. But the question is, why can't the transgender people get their own teams and just run against each other? And I'll hang up.
Well, Angela, I think you asked that question before, because look, they want to change the culture. They're not interested in that. They want to change the culture, and they want to force everyone to conform. And that won't do. Having their own little thing won't do. No, they've got to insinuate themselves into what the broader society is doing. And they've gotten so many people to buy into. I like the way Alan put it, this darkness. So many people have just embraced it. And these corporations have embraced this stuff and are trying to impose this stuff on their entire workforces. So, and that's what they want. And of course, that's what the devil wants. The devil wants to take over. He wants a kingdom of his own. And he's just not going to have one here in America. Well, at least as far as you and I are concerned, he won't. And as far as I'm concerned, us and God are the majority. In fact, God's the majority even without us, isn't he? That's going to do it for the day, folks. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.